In the sugi of Dam Hanimtza B'Prozor, our goal for today would be to divide up this sugi into two parts. The first part, let's call Roman numeral number one, is what seems to be a machlokus between Abaye v'Rava as to whether or not we can prove the shita of Rabbi Chanina based on the din of Dam Hanimtza B'Prozor. Now, we discussed in the past that the din of Rabbi Chanina that Rov beats out Karov is a chiddush that Rov beats out even what? Speak out loud? Kuvra de Mukach. So that if Abaye is quoting the din of Dam Hanimtza B'Prozor, we've got to establish a rov, and we've got to establish what?
Korver.
Right, not just a regular
korver.
It's got to be a korver de mukach. Rav is going to say, you have no proof from Dam Hanimtza B'Prozor. Even if I were to grant you that rov loses out to korov, I would still be able to understand why she is tmeh. This case is different. Because in this case, it's not a classical rov. Einachinami, rov against karov beats out. At least if it's a korva de mukach. And that would be the sheet of Rav Zeir that we had on Chav Gimel Amid Beis. But in this case, rov beats out karov for a different reason. What's that? What does rov add to the equation?
Matz.
Okay? Now that's going to be part one of this sugya. Part two of this sugya is to study a brisa of Rav Chiya, and Rava analyzing that brisa derives three conclusions. What we're going to focus on today, and that's our goal for today, is the first part of the sugya. And that is Abaye against Rava. So let's see the Gemara inside. If you're on Daf Chav Dalet Amud Aleph, we're going to look at the fourth line. Omar Abaye, Afanan Nami Tnina. Rashi says, Kirevi Chanina, Derov Vikarov Halach Achar Rov. Immediately Tosus, Dibra Maschil, Viafalpi, says, Kurva de Muchachu. Now, what sets up Kurva de Muchach in the case of Dam Hanimtza B'Prozor?
That is on the gag of the Prozor.
Okay. Tosfos says it's on the gag of the Prozor. Where did you find this in Tosfos?
The Tosfos right before it. Omar?
Omar, correct. Let's look at Tosfos Omar Abaye. Omar Abaye, Afanan Nami Tnina, Dam Hanimtza B'Prozor Tomei. Tosfos says, B'Nimtza B'Gag Prozor. Okay. What's the significance of Gag Prozor, and why does Gag Prozor generate a kurva de mukach, such that now if Rov beats out kurva de mukach, we've established Rabbi Chanina.
That it's possible for it to go from the makor to the gag, but it's like very improbable. So the kurva that the Aliyah has is the kurva de mukach.
So would you say that what distinguishes kurva de mukach and kurva de ena mukach is purely statistics? Is kurva de mukach just simply a greater statistical probability than kurva de lo muchach? What would you say?
It's based on what she does. If she potentially moves out, this is a Tosfot.
Yeah, show me the Tosfot inside.
Shachata biyoter.
Correct. What does Tosfot mean by shachata biyoter?
I guess if she moves abnormally more than she would have, this blood from the aleya would go into the gut. Therefore, that's
so. In order to get the dam from where to where, does she have to do this unusual action?
From the rechem to the gag of the.
Wait, we have here the possibility. It's either going from the cheder into the gaga prozdor, or from the aliyah into the gaga prozdor. Those are your two possibilities. Does everybody have that?
What's the gag?
The gag is the top part of the prozdor. In other words, the dam that you found, that she found, is in the gag of the prozdor. Tosfos says that both the aliyah and the cheder will flow into the prozor. But the only difference is, in order to get dam into the gaga prozor, it's got to come from a higher place, which is that higher location. That's the aliyah. So right now, as things appear on the surface of it, or on the roof of it, if you pardon the pun, it would seem that the dam is coming from the aliyah. Am I right?
Yeah, but then you can say we should do this action thing, which makes the dam from the cheder come.
What is the purpose of this action of shachas harbe?
It's coming to the pekan. It's
what happens when she moves her body in that way? Then keep in mind, the cheder, Rashi points out, is in the back, and the prozor is in the front.
Does the action makes a cheder.
So how do you what would facilitate the ability for the cheder to flow into the top of the prozor? What would you need?
Her to bend over for her to.
No, but I'm saying, forget about bending. I mean, bending we'll get to in a minute. But again, just looking at the mushal of the Mishnah, if you have a horizontal line connecting the cheder and the prozor, then how are you going to get dam from the cheder into the gaga prozor? What are you going to have to do?
Flip it upside down.
In which direction? What's going to move where?
The entire everything is going to move the other way.
You go like this.
The gag has to end up along the rechem.
The blood needs to move up.
Let's not use the word rechem because it's just going to confuse me. Either
the cheder. The gag has to end up below the cheder.
The gag of the prozor has to end up below the cheder. What, to flip it around? The cheder has to what?
End up above the gag.
Okay, so you have to raise the cheder. How, says Tosis, can you raise the cheder?
Right.
How can you get the cheder into an elevated position such that now the dam could flow from the cheder and end up in the gag at prozor? If they're both horizontal, you have to lift it up.
That's what the shachas harbe is for.
Oh. So what happens when she shachas harbe? What does she lift up in
the cheder.
The cheder, because where's the cheder?
In the back.
It's in the back.
Now, that sets up a kurva de muchach. Kurva de muchach we've had in the past. Let's go back to Tosis' paradigm case of kurva de muchach. Does anybody remember what the paradigm case of kurva de muchach is?
I go out of the
The river case, okay?
It's outside the city, though. It's not.
Correct. What did you find outside the city? On the river.
A barrel
of wine. You want to know if it came from the nearby city? And that city is what? Rove Yisraelim, correct? Or did it come from?
Above.
Which are other cities that border on this river. And maybe the barrel came down from those cities, but those cities are Rubam. Akum. So you have what against what? Rove against Karov. Says Tosis, this Karov to the nearest city, which is the Jewish city, is Kurva de Muchach. What sets it up is Kurva de Muchach?
The fact that it's very, very difficult for the barrel to come from all the way upstream.
Excellent. You would need something unusual to get the barrel down from upstream all the way down to downstream. First of all, the barrel has to fall into the river. That's a mistake number one. Number two, you've got to get the barrel in such a way that it doesn't get caught on the way down, you know, blocked by perhaps some whirlpools or something. Number three, you've got to make sure that nobody caught the barrel somewhere during this very long trip down. So there are many, many variables, many conditions that have to be met before you imagine the barrel coming all the way down the Euphrates River. So since you need an unusual event to take place, some sort of irua that's not anticipated, then you're adding a new variable into the picture. By doing so, that means that the kurva, which is something that we can anticipate, is called what?
Kurva de Muchach.
So what about our case about the other Mishnah? You're going to tell me Medada is the only way that it... So you're telling me Medada is like a very unusual thing to happen?
So wait, John, what are we talking about? This is very important. Are we talking about two shovels within 50 Amah?
No, one shovel. The ratio of the Mishnah.
Good. So we've got one shovel within 50 Amah and another shovel outside the 50 Amah.
Yeah.
Now let's assume we're talking about an Ov Porech. Why does 50 Amah play such an important role in the case of Ov Porech?
Because of the previous two Amah talked about that it's for the freight.
Yeah.
It's
50
Amah. Yeah, it's not going to go past 50 Amah to get food.
Correct. So the bird is flying 50 amah to get food. To assume that the bird, which is more than 50 amah away, would have flown 50 plus amah, is called what?
What was that occurrence?
Right. Irua. It's something that's not anticipated. It would be unusual. So Tosis therefore constructs the case of Shovach in 50 against the Shovach out of 50, that's not just Kurva in the classical sense. What would be the classical case of Kurva?
They were both in the same.
Two within 50.
Right.
Two within 50 or two?
Outside 50.
So if they're both in the same zone, and you're telling me, well, this is closer to that one. Remember we had a long discussion about this. You know, what says that it came from the closer one? You have many cities within the enclave. You found the Cholol. That's the Eglav Rufa scenario. And you assume it came from the closer city. Not very convincing. But once you introduce Ruva the Alma, you're talking about the Rotzeach came from yonder. Well, that's not usual. That's not regular. That introduces a new variant.
No, hey, but there is a chance that birds from outside came in near inside the 50, because we have that case in Hilchos Shabbos about you setting aside blackbirds. Oh, for Yom Tov, if you set aside blackbirds, you find white birds, you find blackbirds. We say over there that, oh, you maybe assume that these birds came from the wild. So the fact that we're assuming that, and then the answer in the Gemara over there was that the reason why we assume it came from the world is because we say that other birds will sit outside your bird cage.
Exactly. What's in front of the bird cage?
A ledge.
And right, a ledge.
Other birds will come and sit there. So based on the fact that other birds will come and sit there, in this case also other birds will come and sit there.
Okay, excellent. So we'll come back to that case of the ledge and see how that ledge undermines the curve of the low muchach. The curve of the muchach can make it into a lower level curve. But my question to you is, once we have this relationship between grove and curve in such a way that we can upgrade the curve of the muchach, the carve into a curve of the muchach, and then you've got rove against the curve of the muchach, that's going to become a machlokus between whom and whom? Rabbi Hanina and Reb Zera. So Reb Zera is going to say, well, look, this is a curve of the muchach situation. Your rove is very weak. I'm not going to stretch my arm out to that city that's all the way up on top of the river. I'm not going to assume that a bird flew more than 50 amah. I'm not going to assume that a woman would bend down Shachas Ahar Be Yoser. That adds an unusual or non-anticipatory action or factor or variable into the equation. Kurva de Muchach therefore wins the day. Comes along Rabbi Hanina, and we have to understand Rabbi Hanina. What is he saying?
That
Rove beats out Karv de Muchach. Now again, you're talking about a very far away Rove. Not the most strong rove in the existence of the universe. And on the other hand, you're talking about a karov, which is quite convincing. We can always anticipate that a barrel of wine at some point would spill over, you know, roll over into the river. You can anticipate that a rotzeach might come out of the city and boom, kill somebody right outside the city. In the case of Teshach Hanuyos, well, we're talking about the fact that you found Nevel in front of one store. Does that prove anything? Well, that's a kurva de lo muchach. But now Rabbi Hanina wants to go way beyond the classical case of Teshach Hanuyos and give the power to rove to defeat a kurva de muchach. Even if that rove is somewhere from the Alma, you know, it's from that outside effect and introduce possibilities and scenarios that we don't anticipate, that gives a lot of power to what? You remember there used to be a phrase, all power to the people? That's before you. Anyway, so what is Rav Hanina's banner? What's he saying?
All power to Rove.
All power to Rove. Unbelievable. The power of Rove is so great that it trumps a kurva de muchach. Even in the case where you find the dam on the Gag HaProzdor, which means that in order to set up the dam from the cheder, you've got to throw in a whole irregular action on her part of what? Shachas or Harvish flips around our body in such a way that what's in the back now goes up on top. But Rava doesn't like. Let's look at Rava inside. Rava says that it's a very nice shot, but it's not convincing. Only Rava. So who's Rava talking to now?
Okay, is there a question on the last one?
Yeah.
I mean, why don't we say that the only reason, I mean, even though that is pointed out by Karo versus Rove, why don't we say the only reason that we paskin by Rove there is because it's suffix for Nida, so we're just going to go with Chumrah?
Because it's Bila Yisura. And it's the whole idea that Bila Yisura, you always go with or always Machmir by that. Isn't there a concept of that? But like, the Rabbanan are always more Machmir if it comes to relation to Yisura? relationships that are Isser?
Well, there's a universal principle of Sofik Doraisa L'chumra, and then you have certain cases in which, for example, in Yuchsin, you'll find for Kohanim that the special Chumra that we were, even a case which normally wouldn't be a Sofik, we might elevate to the status of Sofik. That's, for example, there's one rove in the case of Yuchsin, they made a Mila for Yuchsin, and they introduced the requirement of two roves, and that'll be part of tomorrow's discussion, it's when we get to Omar Rav Shmami Nomer Apchiyah Tlas. But getting back to Abai's position is that the rove is going to defeat the Karov.
But maybe the rove only defeats the Karov in this case because there's a Sufik and we're going to go to Chumrah. It happened to be
excellent
Chumrah
question. It would seem that there are two options here. It's either black or white. There's nothing gray in the middle. We're not throwing out the opportunity that rove and Karov equalize. And maybe we'll come back to that possibility. It's a fascinating possibility to investigate. They equalize, there's an equilibrium, it's Shnei, Suvim, Amachishim, Zedzeh. But rather, let's assume that Rov, if you hold like Rav Chanina, beats out Karov completely. That the status of this woman, once we assume that the dam came from the Cheder to the Prozor, is Tmeya Vadois. And we're going to have to prove that point. If on the other hand I would take Rav Zera, which is greater, Rov or Karov? In the case of Korba the Mukha, Karov beats out Rov, then she's Tahora. Because then I assume where did the Dam come from? The Ali. Okay. Let's take a look now at Rov's objection to Abaye. And then we'll try to come back to that question that you asked. Is it that Rov, in Rav Chanina's frame of reference, where Abaye wanted to say it, beats out Karov and establishes Abaye? Omale, Rava. Who's Rava talking to now?
Right.
To Abaye, Rov Umatsui Ka Amrit, Rov Umatsui Leka Lamandi Omar. So what variable does now Rava throw into the equation?
That's right.
He throws in Matsui. Any questions that we want to ask now?
So now Rov is more powerful.
Okay. But even before you talk about which is more powerful, let's look at the variable that Rubber throws into the equation. I think that has to come first on our agenda. What question should you ask about?
Why is that? What's a chiddush?
Why is it Matsu? What makes it Matsu? What other questions can you ask?
Go ahead, Ari. Is he putting Matsui with Rubber or Matsui?
Excellent. We'll get to that in just a second. Please, I'm going to ask you to ask that question in just a second. I just want to ask me a question now about the Matsu. Number one, what makes it into Matsu? Number two, who addresses this question of what makes it into Matsui? What is Matsui? Rashi, who else? The Rimi Gash. Great, well prepared. So if you take a look at your page that I gave out to you today, whereas Rashi speaks about the frequency of the Dam in order to generate Matsui, the Rimi Gash speaks about the Dam itself. Did you notice that? So let's start with Rashi. Rashi says, Rovu Matsui, Domov, Rabim, Yosef, Mishal Aliyah. So what's that explaining?
Rov.
So Rov, Rashi has a very simple definition of Rov. Rov is Rov Domin. Okay? So if I would put all the Dam, so to speak, into two vessels or receptacles and put them on a scale, in which direction would the scale be tipping? What would go up and what would go down?
Cheder would go down. And no, the one up, Aliyah would go up.
Correct, because there's Domim Rabin coming from where? From the Cheder. And from the Aliyah, occasionally she'll have bleeding from the Aliyah, but that's not really a volume of Dom that we should consider when we compare it relatively to the volume of Dam that's coming from the Chedah. So now we know what Rov is. We've weighed the two Damim, and we've got Damim Merubim in the Chedah, Yosef and Aliyah. But now we want to set up an additional advantage to the Damim that are coming out from the Chedah. What's the additional advantage? The Od Shehem tidirim lozuv misham. Udmei aliyah ain tidirim lozeis. What element is Rashi introducing now? What makes matzu matzu? Tadir. How would you translate tadir into English?
Common.
What else?
Frequent.
So where's the frequency greater? That dam will flow from the cheder or from the aliyah?
Cheder.
And where's the volume of blood greater?
Cheder.
From the cheder. So cheder now has two advantages over the aliyah. Again, the aliyah still has the advantage of being what?
Closer.
But the cheder has two advantages. Number one,
Rove.
What's Rove here in this case? How does Rashi define Rove?
Majority of the blood comes out.
Not the frequency, but the
majority.
Protects the volume of the blood, right? The volume of the blood, that's Rove. And number two, what other advantage does Cheder have? We call it Matsui. What's that?
Frequency.
So you got frequency and volume. Okay, then. Let's look at the Rimigash. The Rimigash says, Rove u'matsui ka'amar. Rava turns to Abai and says, you bring a proof from Daman into the Prosa, that's an exceptional case. There we have what?
Matzah.
Not just Rava, we also have Matzah. Now, if you read the Rimigash carefully during Seder, which element of the two does the Rimigash focus our attention on? The Rove or the Matzah?
The Matzah.
The Matzah. He doesn't say a word about Rove. Completely leaves it out. He wants to focus his attention on Matzah. And in the context of the Rimigash, what about Motzi is he going to focus on?
Not so much what's more frequent, but where it's more
visible.
More, I guess, more accessible.
Well, what is the key phrase in the Rimigash in favor of Motzi in the case of Cheder? Correct. Eino Bolua Bibasar. Right, you want to underline those words. Eino bolua bibasa.
What's bolua?
It's not part of the circulatory system of the flesh itself. Normally, the blood capillaries are in the flesh, but here you have a very strange situation. Aliyah is classical. It's like any other anatomical structure in the body in which the blood is where
internal.
It's internal. It's in the capillaries and part of the circulatory system. In the case of dam min acheder or min abakar, that's a little bit different, says the Rimigash. Sorry, that's called eno bolua bibasar. The dam is not bolua. In other words, the Rimigash is focusing all our attention on what? On the dam itself, and he's comparing and contrasting the dam of the cheder with the dam in aliyah. Can we take the dam to a laboratory, going to the Rimigash, check out its chemical structure and determine whether it came from the cheder or from the aliyah? Can we send it to a chemical lab?
Yes.
You think so?
No.
I don't know. I'm very skeptical about that, because if that be the case, then we have a great way of figuring out in all these faces whether a woman is in need or not. I've never heard of sending the blood for a lab test. But
that's what I was going to bring the rabbi. The rabbi is basically a lab test. The rabbi looks. If you're holding it, he looks at all. He's got the chart of all the different bloods. He looks at this dam nida, this is dam nida, and that's
right. But can he tell the difference by looking at the dam between dam cheder and dam aliyah?
Well, I mean, why aren't they different kinds of blood?
So it seems that that's not relevant. The relevancy is rov, karov, matsui. There's nothing in the way the dam looks that gives you a clue as to where this dam came from. So that possibility is completely out. But in a theoretical way, it's almost as if the Rimigash is leading us to the conclusion that maybe this dam, cheder is a little different than the dam. But in any event, we see one thing. The Rimigash wants to focus our attention on the dam, and to determine, as we will, where the dam came from by reflecting on the relationship between the dam and the basar. If the dam is balu in the basar, then, it's not common for the dam to frequently come out of the basar. If the dam never really gets in, it's never wedged in, so to speak, fixed into the makar, into the cheder, then we expect the dam to sort of like flow through. You know, it's not deeply embedded in the circulatory system. It's not in the capillaries. You know,
So how does blood get into the cheder exactly?
The cheder somehow produces a blood by adding different things together and produce it. But again, for that we'd have to really study the anatomy of menstrual bleeding and see how it works. Okay, so let's leave that for the time being. Okay. Larry, what was your question from before? Now I think I'm ready for your question.
Oh yeah, I figured it out.
Good, but ask the question again, if you don't mind.
Okay. So, are Rav and Matzor the same, or are they coming to combat each other, or are they coming to help each other?
Excellent. What is the relationship between Rav and Matzor? This, I think, is the most fundamental question we have to address. Let me just take a step back. If I told you that there's a hochacha in favor of the Karov, what's that called? When I say there's a hochacha in favor of the Karov? That's called kurva demucha. What would you say? Are those two separate entities or one entity?
Karov and karov.
No. I'm asking kurva demucha. There's a karov and there's mucha. Is that one entity or two different entities?
I always thought it was one.
It's one. It's one entity, correct? So when you say, as many Rishonim say, take a look at the lush of the Rishonim, they say there's a rov matsui and a rov she'eino matsui. What does that sound like in the case if you parallel to kurva?
That's one thing.
Right, but what, again, if you just change the language, what would you have? Instead of rov matsui, a rov she'eino matsui, plug in another. You have kurva de muchach or kurva de lo muchach. Right? So how would you describe matsui here when you say it's a rov matsui? Right, so how would you conceptually define that word matzah? Is it a noun? Is it an adjective?
It's an adjective.
It's an adjective. Okay, it describes the rov. Just like the word muchacha describes what?
The
karov. So it's a descriptive term. It's like an appendix. I don't mean an appendix in the body. I mean, you append the matzah to the rov. And what's the goal of appending matsui to the rov? What's my purpose?
To strengthen rov.
Exactly, to strengthen rov. So then if you're comparing a rov matsui to a rov she'eino matsui, basically you're comparing a rov to a rov. But by adding matsui as a description of the rov, you're upgrading the level of the rov. So a rov matsui beats out a rov she'eino matsui, because a rov matsui is stronger than a rov she'eino matsui.
So why does rov say rov v'matsui?
Rov vimatsui would be like saying A plus B. In other words, if I have these two elements.
So Rav is saying it's two, but most of your Shonim only count as one?
Correct. Meaning that they understand the word, the vav of umatsui, as an adjective. You know, it's a train and it's fast. It's not a slow train, it's a fast train, it's an express train. Have you ever taken Amtrak? Yeah, so there's two Amtraks. You know, there's this Amtrak that will take you to Baltimore in 4 hours, you know, and then there's an Amtrak that really moves fast. That's the fast Amtrak. So what we're saying is, what kind of rove do we have here, says Rova? It's the fast track rove. It's the upper class rove. It's the matsui, the rove hamatsui. The matsui indicates what kind of level of a rove it is. Is there another way of understanding matsui? When you have A plus B, what would be the other model for A plus B?
It's alone by itself.
Correct, it's independent. It's rov l'chud and matzui l'chud. Matzui stands independent of rov. It's not a description of rov. It's not meant to impact on the rov. It's a variable, a factor that should be reckoned with on its own. What shall I say in Gzela, in Kenyonic Gzela, there's something called Yeush Vishinu Rishus. Yeush operates to be mafkir the bailus to the dignav. And Shina Rishus generates a new bailus for the Gaza. Okay, we don't have to get into that now. But I'm just saying there are many paradigms in Shas where you have two variables, A plus B. Each one attacks a different element and is fundamentally different one from the other. Now, if you look at Rashi, is there any indication one way or the other how Rashi understood Rov and Matzah?
That's not like two.
It sounded like two. What would indicate that it's two?
The vaod.
That the matzui acts independently.
Vaod.
Let, let me present to you the opposite opinion. Who could present the view that logically Matsui is nothing more than Rove? It's not a new entity of itself. It's just a repetition. It's a copycat. Or if nobody presents it, I'll present. Because basically, what is Matsui telling me? That it's more likely that it came from the Makar, from the Cheder. Isn't that Rove? And what is Rove if not more likely? Basically, what's my key term then in understanding both Rove and Karav if I see them as one? I'm sorry, Rove and Matsui if I see them as one. Likelihood or statistics, probability. It all comes down to statistics. So I can call it a rope this way, I can call it a rope that way. Let me jack up the statistical probability by adding Matsui into the equation, because not only is there a greater volume of blood, but there's a more frequency of blood. What would be the other way of saying it? The way Rashi seems to say it, the way Ari, you want to understand it, that it's two separate things. One, what's it in she rope and Matsui?
I mean, I'll explain in the case of stores, even though...
Go ahead.
So, even though there are more, let's say there are more Jewish stores, but if the non-Jewish one is more frequently used, so that would be Rove against Matsui.
Correct. So, Rove means what? And Matsui means what? How are they fundamentally
different? The majority...
Rove means probability, or majority, and what does Matsui mean?
Commonality.
Commonality, or, again, I keep pushing for this word, frequency. So you have volume versus frequency. So there's a greater volume of kosher meat because of the non-kosher butcher shops. And not only that, I can add frequency into the picture. That's a whole other role. Two separate roles. What about the Rimi Gash?
Rimi Gash seems that the rove itself, he views that as one thing. It says the dam itself is Matsui.
Right, by shifting our focus onto the dam, what the Rimi Gash seems to apparently be doing is he's trying to impact on the rove. The rove forces us to look at the dam. Now let's look at different qualities of the dam. Let's look at the fact that there's dam balua, dam she'ena balua. There's dam which is meruba, there's dam which is mute. Here's where the Shev Shmaitita comes in. The Shev Shmaitita tells us that these two variables, Rove and Matsui, are absolutely different one from the other. Fundamentally, worlds apart. And he identifies Matsui as a new category of Rove. Not to be equated with or confused with the old category of Rove. The general well-trodden rove. The rove of the Torah. What is the rove of the Torah? What is the paradigm, you know, well-familiar, well-traveled rove that we know about all the time? Look at the Gemara in Chulin for a minute. The Gemara in Chulin sets up two categories, two types of rove. This is towards the bottom of your page one. We saw it yesterday. Let's see it again. Minayin, yeah, go ahead.
Leisakaman and Ruva do.
Excellent. Which is which?
Ruva Leisakaman is the case where the numbers are there. Like there's the numbers are in front of you. It's like it is there. There's the 10 stores. 9 are kosher. 1 isn't. There's 90% chance it's a kosher store. But then the Ruva de Leisa is saying in the case of.
And when you say it's there in front of you, where do you see that in the Torah? If I were to tell you that Ruva Leisakaman is a Doraisa halach, it's right there in scriptures. Where would you point to me? Let's look inside. Right? Let's look inside. Teisha Chanuyos, Rashi says, Kula mochos basar shchudu, yachas mocheres basar nevelut, v'nimtza basar bar, it's halach acharo, do'akaman chazinon rubed etero. We see it in front of us. Okay? So when you say, minani mili, di'omar abonet zil basar ruba, well, we can count 9 kosher butcher shops in front of our eyes, me Nolan, and you ask me, where do we know this from? It's the Acharam Lahatas. Why is that called a Ruva the Isa? Come on.
Because there is a Ruva. It says go after the Ruva. I mean, it wouldn't say.
What is the Ruva in the case of Acharam Lahatas?
Yeah. Basically, there's 9, it's, yeah, there's 23 people, 16 say yes, 7 say no, you go after the. You go after
right, you're counting the Dayanin.
Yeah.
So that's your paradigm of a Ruba, yeah. Doraisa, which is a Ruba Beis Hakamon. Excellent. Oh, but the Gemara is asking me on a different kind of category of rope. Namely what?
The Lesa.
The Lesa. What's a rope to move the Lesa? Okay, Rashi gives an example from Yibum. What's the example from Yibum?
That you have a a man marries a katana, and then he passes away without kids, and his brother is a katan. So do we let them...
So the Yavon is a katan and the Yavon is a katan.
Right.
And now we want to encourage this relationship because we want them to procreate Lahakim Shem Zer Eliyahu and be Mekanimits of Yibum. But what's the problem here?
Well, the problem is that since they're a katan and katana, there's a chashash for both of them that he's going to be a saris and she's going to be an ionis.
Excellent. Because the mitzvah of Yibum is conditional on the fact that both of them, he and she, the Yavam and the Yavama, can procreate. But there's always a chance that maybe there's something physiological wrong with them. The Simani ionis only come into being when she becomes 20 years old. So from the age of 12 and a half, when she's a gdol, or 12 as a nara, all the way up to 20, that's 8 years she's living with this guy, which is her late husband's brother. But nevertheless, if there's no mitzvah of Yibum, if it turns out 8 years down the line, we find that she's an islandess, or if we find that he's a saris, the entire mitzvah of Yibum is paka. What happens when we mafkia, we undermine the mitzvah of Yibum, what are we left with?
Business.
More than that, it's a bias erva. Which erva? Of Eishes Achiv. Eishes Achiv is a very heavy Isra Arayas Isra erva that can only be trumped, only can be undermined by the mitzvah of Yibum. So how do we encourage this marriage relationship?
So the kids aren't Islandists, the girls aren't Islandists, the guys aren't Saris. So therefore we say, even though there is no physical proof right here, we just say the majority, like conceptually, the majority of the kids aren't going to are going to be able to have kids, so therefore why should we say that they can't get married?
Correct. Now we want to now compare the following two cases. Let's compare the case of Dam Minha Aliyah. Now, why does Dam come out of the Aliyah? And I can tell you that Dam comes out of the Cheder. I don't know why it comes out of the Aliyah. What would have to happen for Dam to come out of the Aliyah? What do you say?
Internal bleeding.
Is it something that you can anticipate should happen? In other words, if all things are normal, would you anticipate that kind of bleeding? Why not?
I don't know. Why would you anticipate internal bleeding?
Right. Ari, what do you say? Would you anticipate internal bleeding if all things are equal?
No. Maybe she ran into a tree.
Good. So, but is that a normal thing for a woman to walk into a tree? You know the story of the rabbi who comes out of the basement and she walks into the tree and says, "Excuse me." I mean, it has happened. But I'm saying that's not the normal way of life. You're introducing something that, in a sense, undermines the mechanism, the mechanics of nature, the cause and effect relations that Almighty God put into this universe. In the case of an islandess, in the case of a Yavam and a Yavam, if you want to anticipate the possibility of she being an islandess or he being a saris, again, what do you have to do? What do you have to be choshish for? Something normal or something abnormal?
Abnormal.
Something abnormal. Normally,
come out of the island, you don't expect that to happen. So.
Okay. So let's make a comparison now between, and this is going to be the Shev Shmaitz's, you know, the Chiddush here, between the assumption of Dam Min Haliyah and the case of the Yavama, the assumption that she be an islandess. Turn out to be an islandess. What kind of rove would contradict the Dam Min Haliyah and support the Dam Min Acheder? And by the same token, what kind of rove would support the fact that she's not an islandess?
And the Lois. The Lesser Lady.
Rubit the Lesser Company. And now I have the following question to ask. If rove Dunin, in the case of the Cheder, is now being supported by Matsuri, how would you now perhaps classify those two roves as fundamentally different, one from the other? Danny? Do you follow what I'm asking? Here, tune in on this for me.
Yeah.
If I have Rove and Matsuri.
Yeah.
Rove tells me the volume of Dam is greater from the Makar, from the Cheder.
It must shows the frequency.
Frequency, correct? It's frequently happens. Yeah. Nothing to get nervous about. You know, we tell the young girls when it happens. You know, they shouldn't get an emotional trauma. This is something that's built into nature. That's what we have. What would you say could define those two factors, Rov and Matsui, as fundamentally different one from the other? They belong to two different worlds, in a sense.
Because one is common, one is not common.
Just one second. Yeah. Again, when you say not common, the not common is to assume that the dam came from the Aliyah.
Yeah,
that I grant you.
That's us.
But now, if I want to support the dam coming out of the cheder, as opposed to the Aliyah, what am I using here? What mechanics am I operating with? Which is nature with a capital N. What's that called in the Gemara's language in Chulin?
Rodesa.
Again, if you talk about nature, I don't know that I can line up every woman in front of me and tell me she's not an island. Right? I don't know if I can count that. You know, it's just based on nature. By the same token, I don't know if I can, you know, line up every woman and say, well, does she have down from the Ali or does she not have down from the Ali? Can I do such a thing? I can't do such a thing. So when I say that kind of a rove, what rove, define the rove and its category by the fact that it's nature.
The lesser common.
That's not a rove that I can count. But on the other hand, rove dumbing. What's rove dumbing?
That's a physical thing.
Yes, says the Shechaita, that's called a rove the Isa Kamon. What makes it a rove the Isa Kamon? Can I go ahead and count all the dam?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, in theory I could. I'm not going to go do it.
But you could.
But then again, I don't know if I have to walk into every kosher butcher store in town.
Did you say that Matsui is rove? Is he defining Matsui as a rove the Isa Kamon?
Exactly. This is the breakthrough of the Shev Shmaita. He says that Matsui is defined as a rove the lesser kamon. We're not just adding, you know, some strength to the rove. We're introducing an entirely different kind of rove. A new baby. A new entity. With its own personality, its own name. What rove is rove damim? Again, before we introduce Matsui, that's a rove the lesser kamon. What rove is the rove of Matsui? That's a rove the lesser kamon. Okay, so now we have the following equation. And I want to build on this equation. And we're going to pick up the Chassam Sofer here. The Chassam Sofer is going to give us an insight that maybe we didn't even contemplate into Kurva de Muchach. For a long time now, a week at least, we have been battling back and forth, trying to grapple with the issue of what's Kurva de Muchach, what's Kurva de Lo Muchach. The Chassam Sofer breaks new ground. And we will appreciate the Chassam Sofer, I believe, in the light of the sugya in Chulin of Ruben the Isa Kamon and Ruben the Lesser Kamon. Now that some sofa wants to define, compare and contrast Ruben the Isa Kamon and Ruben the Lesser Kamon. Let's look at the some sofa inside. He says, Klala de Ruba de Isa Kamon, u de Lesser Kamon. If you're looking for the respective definitions of a Ruben the Isa Kamon and a Ruben the Lesser Kamon, Kol rov hakavua lefanenu, v'gam hamiut kavua lefanenu. There's a plus and a minus here, an advantage and a drawback. The advantage is that you've got the rov kavua lefanenu, but the drawback, what points in the opposite direction and puts a damper on your rov, is gam hamiut kavua lefanenu. How would you translate kavua lefanenu?
Sent from.
It's countable. It's right there. You can point your finger and count every individual item. It could be that I have to travel to the ends of the earth in order to make this calculation, but it's feasible. It's doable. Kigon, maybe there are birds out there in the wild blue yonder that flew in here. Or there's a rotsach that came from there. And there's so many people in the earth. But such a large population, that's called Ruba the Alma, that would be called a Ruba the Isa Kamon. V'chol de Parish, mi Ruba the Alma Parish, v'lo me amirut, halos. So the kvius of the rove defeats the kvius of the mute, and that is called Ruba the Isa Kamon. What, again, what's your paradigm of Ruba the Isa Kamon?
Is the
is Sanhedrin. Why Sanhedrin?
Because you can count.
Because right there, the miyud is overwhelmed by the rov. Both alefanenu. There's an actual clash between the rov, who are in favor and say I, and the miyud, who say nay. And the rov defeats what? Defeats the miyud. Anything similar to that, he says, is a ruba de isa kamon. What's a ruba de lesa kamon? Kol she'ein kan kavua klal. Lo rov v'lo miyud. Do you see the advantage and the disadvantage? What's the weakness of a rov she'eino lefanenu? A ruba de lesa kamon. What are we lacking? Where's the weakness of a ruba de isa kamon?
It's not right.
We don't have the rov kavua. Yeah. But on the other hand, what's the advantage of a ruba de lesa kamon?
We don't have the miyud.
We don't have the miyud. So what generates this rov that can't be seen, can't be counted? El minag ha'olam kach. This is the nature of the universe. Rov nashim b'nei kaima yoldos. Rov ha'olam enam srisim v'yailanis. Rov mitzuyim etzel shchita mumchen heim. I can't count every single shochet and determine whether he's a buck, he's a mumch, he's an expert or not. But I know that most of the shochtim in the world who pick up this chalif knife and they shech the behemah dacha or behemah gasa are mumchim. That is generated by the minhag ha'olam. How would you translate minhag ha'olam?
Nature.
Nature, whether it's physical, scientific nature, biological nature, or psychological nature. Why would you pick up a chalif if you don't know the first thing about it? You're trying to fool us? We'll catch you. It doesn't make any sense. Then he gives a quote. He has a sugya called Lo Muki Inish Nafshe. We had this once in the first parak of Bava Basra. When you assume that if you have an asua together with a husband in a 30-day period, that for sure they would have consummated their relationship. After 30 days, for sure, take a look on Daf Hey on Beis and Tos on the bottom. Oh, it's a case of Yavama. And Yavama Shomer Tok Shol Shem Yom Lo Nivalti. Then we can believe him. But Lachar Shloshim, we assume that he consummated the relationship. Now take a look on the top of page 2. And the Tzam Sofer's language is very telling here. He writes, Hainu rov pa'amim who came, hine kol eilu v'chayotze. How would you read the next four words? Now, aye shokel v'aye sofer. Who's weighing them and who's counting them? Asher mona minyan anoshim ata imhem srisim imitzuyon lish etzel mumchim olo ach minig ha'olam kachem. Kach minig ha'olam. That's exactly the minig ha'olam. Unehi, even though I grant you the disadvantage, ain't kan rov leheter kavul lefanenu, I can't count the heter, the rov, like I can in a rubidisa kamon, for example, chanuyos. What do I count in the case of chanuyos? I count the stores. So I have rov heter kavul lefanenu. Achlu matze, on the other side of the spectrum, ain't kan miut iser kavul lefanenu. Ubeinin zeh, from that perspective, from that dimension, who others me ruba de isa kamon? Do you see, Rabosai, how the Chassam Sofer is sort of vacillating back and forth on what issue?
Being able to calculate.
No, I'm saying, when he says adif, what's he? He's revealing a little bit of what's going to come. Which is stronger? Is the rov de isa kamon stronger? That would be my intuition, because ruba de isa kamon is in the Torah. But on the other hand, there's advantage to Ruba, the lesser come on. What is missing that could irk me and disturb me and undermine my rope? And is no longer here in the case of Ruba, the lesser come on. Yeah. The miyud kavul fanenu, there's no miyud kavul fanenu. It's hashtaz lina basa Ruba, ye started the lesser come on adif. Now that we have introduced and derived Ruba, the lesser come on, then there's as far as to say that Ruba de Lesa Kamon is more powerful than a Ruba de Isa Kamon. Now, we're going to skip the next paragraph, even though it's a fascinating paragraph, but maybe we don't have enough time. I want to point out to you a major breakthrough, which I underlined in the next paragraph of the Tzam Sofer. V'nira li de kurva de muchach, we've been grappling with this problem for so long. What is the nature of a kurva de mukach? Hainu mi din ruba de lesa kamar. Okay, now we have a new equation, just like we had the Shev Shmaita, who equated matzui with a ruba de lesa kamar. Because it's natural for a woman to have dam min acheder, but it's unnatural for her to have dam min aliyah. Now we're introducing, again, utilizing this distinction of the Gemara in Chulin and establishing a kurva, excuse me, a ruba de lesa kamar, we're now establishing the difference between kurva de muchach and kurva de lo muchach. What advantage does kurva de muchach have? What definition does the Chasam Sofer offer for kurva de muchach?
There's lesa, so there's no mia.
It equals ruba de lesa kamar. Now, could anyone give me a concrete example of how kurva de muchach is a ruba de lesa kamar? Take a look at the next few lines in the Chasam Sofer. Did you read them? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Binyamin, what would you say?
I mean, the example that he gives is that you have this the place that we're talking about, the place in question, is a place where for the Krovar, for the two cities that are Karov, that's the only exit. They have, no matter where they want to go from that city, they have to pass by that place.
But what about the Rechokos?
The Rechokos, they don't necessarily have to go past that place to get to where they want. So, on the one hand, you may have a technical roof of the statistical roof of the other cities because there's a larger amount of population. But at the end of the day, though, these people, you may have almost like a matzoi, that these people are, anytime they leave the city, they're passing by that place. So you have Ruba de Lesa kamar. I know they can't give those statistics to say that move of the people that pass by that place are from that city. But you have just big minute ago that these people do come go on to leave the city and come back to the city.
And they pass in that place.
They have to pass that place.
But Bosa, you hear what he's saying? Why does the Chasam Sofer equate Ruba de Muchach with Ruba de Lesa kamar? Because just like in the classical case of Ruba de Lesa kamar, we introduce a premise. Again, we can't count the numbers in front of us, but there's some sort of a premise that's generated by the Minhag HaOlam. In the case of Kurva de Muchach, we have a premise that's generated by the Minhag HaOlam, namely, that if you put an X down on the place where you found the Cholol, or you found the wine barrel, or you found the meat, and its identity is unknown. That X location is passed by mostly, or more frequently, by people coming out of the proximate city. They don't have another way of going. This is the only exit. People from other cities also exit the city, each city respectively, but where do they go? Do they go to this place X? Maybe yes, maybe no, but there's no reason to assume that they do. So once you have a reason based on nature, based on the circumstances, to create a rove, that's called a ruba de lesa kamar. Now keep in mind that the Chasam Sofer votes in favor, big time, of a ruba de lesa kamar. What question now should you raise, upon whom should you ask Akasha, if you accept the Chasam Sofer, that kurva de muchach is a ruba de lesa kamar, and it's even more powerful than a rove, than your classical rove of ruba de isa kamar.
Yeah. Okay.
But kanina now becomes difficult. Can you elaborate on that a little bit? Why does Rav Chanina now become difficult?
Because he's the one that says that a rove, which is less than a ruba de lesa kamar, wins out.
Against
a ruba de lesa kamar.
Well, you jumped a step, even if you did A and C, but let's fill in B. So again, Rov beats out Karov.
Right.
And B, that Karov is what?
Ruba de lesa kamar.
You're a step ahead of me. Yeah. That Karov is what? Karov de muchach. Now C, Karov de muchach is what?
Lesa kamar.
Is a Ruba de lesa kamar. And according to some sofer, which wins out in the battle between Rov, which is Rav Chanina's Rov, and Karov de muchach, which now becomes a Ruba de lesa kamar, when the Chasam Sofer compares and contrasts on the scale a Ruba de Isa kamar with a Ruba de Lesa kamar, where does he put the greatest weight?
Ruba de Lesa kamar.
Ruba de Lesa kamar, so we don't understand Rav Chanina.
So I just had a question I mean, seemingly this case of that he brings here to show that should show that it's Ruben the Less Kaman. I mean, it seems like it's not as strong as other Ruben the Less Kamans that I could think of. Like,
which is not so strong.
Like this thing about let's say with like the nine stores. So you know, if you mark off the X, so the majority of the people that would pass by X would be from the Karov city. But I feel like that idea is a lot less strong than, let's say, the Yavam and Yavama case by the Katan and the Katana. So even though, like, we're not looking at, like...
Right. But Sam Sofer himself, we didn't read every word, he himself vacillates. He claims that not every Ruben the Lesser Kaman is a home run hitter. You know, the Ruben the Lesser Kaman, for example, he claims at the end of this paragraph that if you talk about a Rov Akum Rotschim and you compare it to a Lo Muki Inesha Nafshe, it's not all Miksha Achas. Every Ruben the Lesser Kaman has to be weighed and examined in its own personal individual context. For Rabosai, what do we have now that's very satisfying? If we don't understand Rabbi Hanina, what do we understand very well? What becomes very, very geschmack now in the light of this development of the Chassam Sofer identifying Kruva the Muchach as a Ruba the Lesser come on?
That we know what Karo's
whose shita now makes so much sense. It's crystal clear. Reb Zera, speak out loud, Reb Zera. Because Reb Zera is the one who says that although Rove could beat out Karov, but Rove can't beat out Kurva the Muchach. According to Chassam Sofer, it's beautiful. I don't know why he doesn't spell this out. Because once you upgrade Kurva to Kurva the Muchach, says Reb Zera, now you have a different kind of Rove in dialogue. It's a Ruba, the Lesser come on. Ruba the Lesser come on at least has a shot, it's a candidate to defeat a Ruben the Issa Kamon.
You say that if you go Ruben the Lesser Kamon, in essence, though, is going back to the idea of Matzoi. Right? So you can say that based on the Gemara, right, that Kruva, Karov, and Matzoi together won't necessarily be that Rov. Because Ruben the Lesser Kamon, right?
Karov plus Matzoi? I wanted to add Rov and Matzoi. You know what I'm saying? Rov is Shita. Right. You want to add Karov and Matzoi?
I'm saying, because we're saying Karov and Matzoi, we explained in the Shesh Matata that the Matzoi is in essence a Ruba the Lesser Kaman, right?
Right.
So, right, and so in essence, so we're saying by the city, this Karov, this Karov and Matzoi, right, we're saying because everyone has to come out of the city. I mean, anyone who is coming out of the city is for sure passing this, you know, this marketplace. Right, that's saying that this marketplace is it's mostly for the people from that city to be there by that marketplace because that any time anyone leaves there is going to be by that marketplace, which is another way of saying Matzoi.
And right? Who remembers the Shev Shvaito?
Right,
the Shev Shvaito identified Matzoi as what? As Ruben the Lesser Kaman. So if we have a wonderful structure here in which if we have the premise of the Tzam Sofer that Kruva the Muchach is a Ruben the Lesser Kaman. Then why not say that Matsui, according to Shev Shvaito, is a Ruben the Lesser Kaman, and basically Ruben the Lesser Kaman now really overshadows or generates and reflects on both Matsui and at the same time on Kurva the Muchach. So these concepts now are all beginning to fit into a package. We've got Kurva the Muchach, we've got Matsui, and both of them basically can be reduced to a very powerful role. In the Chassam Sofer's frame of reference, it's a superior role because what is that role? What kind of rov do we have, both in Kurva the Muchach, and if we have the Shev Shvaito in Matzu?
Lesser Kaman.
We have Ruben the Lesser Kaman. Oh, now, I have a question for you. What does Rav Hanina hold? If Kurva the Muchach, we explain Rav Zera very beautifully, is Ruben the Lesser Kaman, then there's only one way of going here in the framework of explaining Rav Hanina. What is his sheet? Just by definition.
He has a Ruba the Issa Kaman is stronger.
Then Ruba the Issa Kaman beats out a Ruba the Lesser Kaman. Why would that be? What's the mechanism by which we can understand Rav Hanina's role? And basically, the power of Rav Hanina is a very unique institution. And I don't understand the mechanics of it. Because when you think about it, Kurva the Muchach has me totally convinced. You want to say the barrel is coming from all the way on top? You want to say there's a bird that's flying beyond 50 Amma? You want to talk about cities out there in the wild blue yonder, and the Roxette came from there? You want to talk about Rove Damin, in which she has to bend over in order to get the dam into the Gaga Prozor? I mean, in all these cases, Ruba, the Isa Kamon, or let's start with Kurva the Muchach, Rav Zera's logic is very compelling. Kurva the Muchach is a very, very strong indication of what actually happened over here. It's like a Ruba the lesser come on. You know, what are the chances that this woman is going to be an islandess? What are the chances that a shochet doesn't know beans about shechita? All that violates and upsets and undermines the natural order of the universe. So you're introducing some sort of a variable that, or as I called it before in Yeruah, something unusual that changes the course of nature. Why go down that road? So Rav Zera makes crystal clear sense. You know, you want to tell me that Rove is a probability theory? I've got a better probability theory. I got Ruben the Lesser come on. In Ruben the Lesser come on, there's not even a mute that's kavua, that spacks up and contradicts the Rove. So Ruben the Isa come on really has to count out to Ruben the Lesser come on. What logic can we use to somehow, in some way, salvage, some defense mechanism for a Khanim? Well, I think, Rav Osa, I just want to move you in a direction here to think about this. Is it possible that Rabbi Hanina sees the halach of Rov as formulated by the Torah in Achrei Rabban Lahatos, which is a Ruben the Isa come on, as a totally different entity than what we think Rov is all about? Because if I were to wake you up in the middle of the night and ask you by sheer association, what is Rov? I mean, again, it depends what course you're taking in college, but I can think of one course in college that would immediately, by association, tell you what Rove is. Namely what?
Statistics.
Is there a way of undermining statistics here, of understanding Rav Hanina's Rove in a totally different context? It's qualitatively a different category. It's a different heft, as we would say. Nobody knows where I'm going with this? Again, if you're dealing within the confines of statistics, Ruben the Lesser come on wins the day over Ruben the Isa come on. And Chassam Sofer is right. And if Rav Zera is right, because of Chassam Sofer's understanding, Kurva the Muchach equals Ruben the Lesser come on. You know, to start stretching your arm out to some far-flung city, some Ruben the Alma, that's really unusual. That's not frequent. That's not regular. That's abnormal. So Rav Zera is right. You're going to throw in a rope here and defeat Kurva the Muchach? It's ridiculous. It's ludicrous. Kurva the Muchach wins the day. It's based on Minhag HaOlam. So I think what we have to do at this point is make a move. And this is what I want to present to you, but I want you to think about it. And if you have any questions, ask me a question. Perhaps Rav Hanina says that when you count Dayanim in a Bezdin, that doesn't really tell you anything statistically about the truth. Do those Dayanim in the Rove answer up some sort of a suffix that I had? You know, I didn't know if it was X or if it was Y. Well, the Rove tells me it must be X and not Y. Obviously, in the case of Dayanim, which is your paradigm of Ruben the Isa come on, we're not dealing with a statistical probability theory. We're out of the realm of statistics. The Torah says that the halacha is determined by a rove. If we apply that to Teisha Chanuyos, if we take the next step and establish that a ruba de isa come on is something that the Torah tells you determines the halacha, not based on statistics, then we can generate a new quality of rove, a new category of rove. It's not a beer of Rove. It's not a statistical probability. It's a din Rove. What do I mean by a din Rove?
Evidential.
It's evidential? No. It's constructive. Evidential I would have to kowtow in favor of Ruba, the lesser kamon. I would say, in Hilchas evidence, I would have to vote in favor of Kurva de Mucha. Forget about these far-flung sins. But if I take Rove out of the confines of evidential evidence, right, evidential, and I call it constructive, it's a new din, it sets up the halacha. The halacha has to determine how to operate in all cases of suffix. The Torah says, operate with Rove.
So you're saying, sorry, Gezeres HaKasuv?
It's Gezeres HaKasuv, that Rove beats out any other factors that seem in Hilchus Birur to... But I have to have one proviso. The Rov has to be feasible. If it's not feasible, then it's not a Rov. If I'm going to tell you that every one of these stores selling kosher meat is locked 24-7, they're all out of business, that's not a Rov. If I tell you I found this meat the minute after I made Abdullah on Motzei Shabbos and all the kosher butcher stops have been closed, well, let's say Motzei Shavuos this year, so for 3 days, for 73 hours, there would be no meat going in and out of the kosher butcher shops. That clearly I found. So you've got to have some sort of reasonable possibility in order to set up your rope. If you completely close the door, lock the door in such a way that this rope can't get off its feet, then you don't construct the rope. Once having constructed a rope, the way that rope operates is a din. That's called Ruba Deisa Kamon. I, the mute, is looking me, staring me in the face, jumping out there and contradicting the Rove. The Torah says, Api Rav Lahatis. The Torah says, count the Rove Kavua, and that beats out the Miut Kavua. Despite the greatness of the Miut, we completely defeated. That powerful din of Rove is enough to even overwhelm Ruba Deisa Kamon. Oh, if that be the case, Rav Osai, here's my challenging question to you. If Rabbi Hanina is saying that Rov beats out Kurva de Muchach, and why is that? Because Rov has this additional power or quality of a din, so then now can we understand Rov? What did Rov, or what variable did Rov introduce into the equation? Mutz, correct? Oh. Who can explain to me now why Rava, even within the camp of Rav Zera, could explain the halacha of Dam HaNimtza B'Prozdor Tamei, even though he holds like Rav Zera, that Karov beats out Rav? Karov, or Kurva de Mucha, as a Ruba de Lesa, come on, as we said, Rav Zera maintains, beats out a Rove. You've got a din of Rove, but that din of Rove, which the Torah generated Ruba Deisa Kamon in the case of Achiram Lahatis, that only works if I don't have a Birur. But if I have a Birur, for example, Kurva de Muchach, then I go with the Birur. So Birur beats out din according to Rav Zera. Could Rav Zera accept, therefore, that the Dam, even though it's closer to the Aliyah, and that's Kurva de Muchach, and that would generate according to some Sofer Ruba the lesser kamon, nevertheless that Rove would lose out, excuse me, that Ruba the lesser kamon of Karov, of Kurva de Mucha, in the case of Dam min Aliyah, would lose out to Dam min Acheder, because in addition to Rove, I throw in Matzli into the equation.
Which is also, in essence, Ruba the lesser kamon.
Oh, so what happens now?
In other words, you have Ruba the lesser kamon cancels out Ruba the lesser kamon with left with Rove.
Do you have it?
Yeah.
Oh, this was my big finish. What I would like to suggest is the following. As we discussed before, the concept of Ruba de Lesa Kamon now is this overarching concept that swallows within it, two shadows, so to speak. What are these two shadows? Number one, Kurva de Muchach, which the Chasam Sofer identifies as a statistical rove. Call it a rove based on Minaga Olam, a Ruba de Lesa Kamon. And Ruba de Lesa Kamon not only explains away Kurva de Muchach, it also explains Matzuri. Because the Shev Shmaitata equates Matzuri with Ruba de Lesa Kamon. And why is Matzuri Ruba de Lesa Kamon? Because it's very unusual for a woman to have to do this shchia harbe, you know, she has to do somersaults in the air in order to get this dam into the gaga prozdor from the, you know, from the cheder and all that stuff. So in essence, the assumption that the dam came from the aliyah is supported in this case by Aruba the lesser come on. So if that be the case, Kurva the Mucha sets up Aruba the lesser come on. On the other side of the equation, weighing in favor of Davin Acheder, I now have not just Rov as a din, but I also have Matsui, and Matsui we're equating with what? Ruby the lesser come on. So let's now compare what we have on the two sides of the equation. Weighing in favor of Davin Aliyah to say that she's Tahora, I have what? Ruby the lesser come on of Kurva. The Mucha, weighing on the other side of the equation in favor of Dav Min Acheder, that she's Tmeya, I have Rov plus Matzli. Matzli equals Ruby the Lesser come on. So I got one Ruby the Lesser come on in the favor of Aliyah. I've got one Ruby the Lesser come on of Matzli in favor of Cheder. So the Aliyah and the Cheder are battling it out here. There's a frontal collision here between Aliyah and Cheder, where the Aliyah is weighing the banner of Kurva the Mukhaf, which is Rov the Lesser come on. Cheder on the other is weighing the banner of Matsui, which is Ruba the Lesser come on. I got one Ruba the Lesser come on against another Ruba the Lesser come on. What do I do in that case? Throw both out. It shakes some Akishans in, so you left with the stalemate. Oh, what's the cost of Ashlishi Shakriva name?
The rope.
Rope is what? As it did. So that even though I never accepted, says Rabbi Zeir, or rope, the premise of Rabbi Hanina that rope beats out Kurva de Mucha, I never accepted that. But if the rope is supported by Matsui, which means now the Matsui clashes with the Kurva de Mucha, both qualifying as a Ruben the Lesser, come on, now I can accept Rabbi Hanina. This wouldn't prove Rabbi Hanina in the case of one rope without any support, without any matzui, against the Kurva de Mukhach. I'm in Rav Zera's camp, but once I introduce matzui, says Rava, now I have, in addition to the Ruba de Issa come on, I got Ruba de Lesser come on, which can neutralize the Ruba de Lesser come on of Kurva de Mukhach. So Aliyah and Cheder battle it out on the level of Birur, and now I have a row to win the case in favor of Cheder and establish a Tmeya. Victor is deep.